A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Correa lines one through a base hit. Altuve and Correa strike again against the Yankees. The home run early in the game from Altuve. The go-ahead hit from Carlos Correa.
Then Taylor Trammell tacked on a two-run homer, and the Astros Friday night on Apple TV took down the New York Yankees 5-3 in extra innings. They also would beat the Yankees yesterday 7-1, taking 2 out of 3 against New York. Saturday, they were unable to do anything after tying the game at 4 with a bases-loaded walk by Christian Walker. Would have been nice to see a little more production, seeing as the bases were still loaded after that went down. But taking 2 out of 3 against the Yankees is nice. I just wanted a total victory. I wanted an unconditional surrender. I wanted the Yankees dead. And we don't have that. But we do tonight have the return of Carlos Correa after somebody actually kept track of the time as if they were in prison or something like that. 3 years, 9 months, 9 days. Or, if you're a real crazy person, 1,377 days, 33,069 nice hours, or 1,984,140 minutes. It's a lot of minutes.
That is a lot of minutes.
When you think about it like that,
it's almost 4 years. Yeah.
He looked rather haggard last we saw him in Minnesota. We played that clip where he was talking about what the Twins and their plans at the trade deadline. And perhaps in Minnesota, I don't know, he was dealing with seasonal depression. Because for all I know, it's already winter in Minneapolis. Couldn't tell you. His temperature's in the 70s in August in Minnesota. Truly, I would not be able to tell you. I think sometimes it's actually really hot in Minnesota this time of year. But Correa's got his swag back, and he has been, I mean, vintage Correa since returning. Have you seen Correa's numbers with the Astros? I saw some people out there saying, hey, this is just a nostalgia acquisition, man. Like, this doesn't even make any sense, man. Yeah, well, why are you bringing this guy back? He left us. He wanted too much money. Well, if the way he has played since joining the Astros on August 1st, is any indication, this could be pretty dangerous. Correa, since joining the Astros, has had 2 hits in all but 3 games. He had 2 hits August 2nd. He had 4 hits. Excuse me. He had 2 hits August 5th, 3 hits August 6th, and then this weekend, 2 hits. In every single game against the Yankees. Since his return to the Astros, he is hitting .405 with a couple of doubles and a couple of home runs. He is slugging .622. I did not think he would be playing this well. Is this sustainable? Perhaps not, but it does feel like Carlos Correa has been reinvigorated to the point where he is also allegedly, in the eyes of some Yankees fans, doing trash talk in the midst of his home runs. The home run that we saw from Correa yesterday after he went around second base featured Correa tugging at the upper left part of his jersey, shaking his head, and then pointing his hand up to the sky. If I am able to get to Daikin Park before today's game, I do want to ask Correa if there was any added meaning to that. Because to my knowledge, and I looked, it doesn't seem like anyone asked him about that. It seemed like it was just a lot of butthurt, bitter Yankee fans who noticed it and said, hey, they're like Leonardo DiCaprio and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like pointing at the TV. Hey, I understood that reference, and that one is the reference that refers to the Astros cheating us in 2017 or 2019, whatever the year. I don't know.
One of the years they lost. There's so many.
Yeah. They all blend together, you would think, at this moment in time. You know?
I wish it was more overt of the... he did the actual... Wherever where Altuve like grabbed both sides of his jersey and pulled it together.
Yeah.
I wish he went full on.
I mean,
I don't think he actually did the callback to
I don't know that,
that
he
one.
Did. I want him to have done it. And I just like I loved when he's looking directly at the camera while doing that interview with Ken Rosenthal. Yes. If you don't know the facts, you gotta shut the bleep up. This is America, Ken. You can say anything you want, but if you don't know the facts, you got to shut the bleep up. I want Correa to be the wrestling heel in that moment.
Yeah.
But I do think it's nebulous. It's definitely not for sure. It's definitely not a lock that he was talking trash to the Yankees and referring to their belief that Altuve was wearing some sort of buzzer. Thanks to John Boy, who claims to be just a fan account, which allows him to get away with libel and slander, seeing as there was definitely actual malice behind that. Tony Busby, I just want a retainer. That's it. That's all. Or a finder's fee. Whatever lawyers use.
Whatever you puts a little money in your pocket.
Yeah, that's all. Just want to wet my beak. Just a little bit. You know?
Pleasure doing business with you.
Yeah. Just want enough money to put a down payment on the car I'm leasing. So I can, you know, get a slightly better monthly payment than I have right now in the near future. You know? That's all I'm looking for. Do you think that Correa was talking bleep to the Yankee fans there? 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 832, Correa was not pointing to a buzzer. He was telling everyone to not pull his jersey off like Altuve did after his homer against Chapman. It was still an homage to Altuve. I felt like he was pointing at something, and I felt like he was pointing at the idea that Yankees fans believe that that Jose Altuve was using a buzzer, and I think that what Correa was doing there was saying, no buzzer, God-given.
Mm.
That was my interpretation of it.
Yeah, I hope so. Again, I wish that he went full on. I wish he did the whole thing. I wish he covered up his shirt. I don't think he actually... Or if it is, it is like very subtle what he's trying to do.
Someone, if I'm not there first today, someone's got to ask. For the media members who do listen to this show, there are a few. If I'm not there on time, and it might take me about 30 minutes to get over there, so I get there at 3:30. If I'm not there on time, someone's got to ask. Someone's got to ask. I can't always ask these questions. I can't be the only person that's looking for the gossipy sports talk question, okay? Pull the clubhouse. There's rules, man. They might not talk to us anymore. I don't give a damn.
Richard Justice is going to yell at you.
He did yell at me that one time because I asked Ozzie Guillen why he loved a dictator that murdered people in his country. God forbid we ask that.
It's out of line.
It would have been so funny. Like, imagine if there was a baseball manager who said, like, you know, Hitler's trains ran on time, and I asked about that. Would Richard Justice have gotten mad about that? Castro's like just as bad in his own way, but whatever. 281 text. Carlos Correa should have been a Giant. This Astros reunion should have never happened. Well, it did. Why are you? The way you're saying it, it's like you didn't want it to happen. You didn't want to get back with him.
Maybe he's a Giants fan.
That could be. Less likely. Mets fan because he almost was a Met.
He also was almost a Met.
Yeah.
It is crazy how this happened. The all the different winding roads that led us to here.
From the 713, nobody asked about it because it's not a thing. You're literally grasping at straws, bro. You should see every Yankee fan on the internet right now. They all think that was intentionally done. I don't know that it was. So I want to ask about it. Grasping at straws,
Well, you said
bro.
Literally. You're not literally grasping.
No, I'm not literally grasping at straws.
Literally
you know what that
talking
is?
Into a microphone.
That is literally littering. If you're getting a straw, you know? Straws are littering.
Hopefully it's a paper straw.
Mm-hmm. Better be. Doesn't matter that they don't work.
No.
Paper
matter.
Straw or GTFO.
Look at this picture of a straw in a sea turtle's nose.
Yeah. Oh, huh? No.
Don't you
seagull.
Feel bad?
Yeah, I choked
don't
on
you
a
feel
straw.
Bad?
Not really. Seagulls suck. Turtles, yes. Seagulls, I'm like, eh, you kind of suck, dude.
I was thinking about this. This is not related to the Carlos Correa in any way, so I can stop if we have a something else more to say. But you know the like plastic rings that come when you get like a six pack or something?
Yeah, oh yeah, it'll kill all the birds, dude.
I was cutting it, I was like, do we still have to do this?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, I did.
Good you did. You could have
killed.
But
I was like, you know, you don't hear about this very often anymore.
You could have killed Stephen the seagull, and then his yeah. wife would be like, where's Stephen? He hasn't been back in days.
How am I going to...
And then, like, the baby chicks
yeah,
are like,
how am I going to raise the
Where's
chick?
Daddy? And, like, he died because he got his beak stuck in yeah. plastic because he was a greedy a-hole.
Because Jean
like,
didn't take 5 seconds yeah. to cut the thing.
You decrease the surplus population. That texter says, he's saying, me? Nah, God. I definitely think it's possible that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
But I do know there's a lot of people that think he was trying to say something else.
Yeah, I don't see the like.
That's what I'm responding to.
Yeah,
like, I don't necessarily believe it. I would not have noticed it. I would have thought, yeah, he's just pointing up to God.
Yeah, no, it's the pushback that Yankees fans have, and I don't know. I think it's fair to ask the question. Like, Carlos Correa can go in there and say, no, I wasn't doing that at all. Didn't even cross my mind. Who yeah. is John Boy? But
yeah, that was.
But the only way to know for sure
is to ask.
Is to ask him.
Yeah, and if he smirks and says, "I don't know what you're talking
yeah,
about."
Yeah, this is America, Paul. What if he says that? I'd be so happy.
I would kill. I would kill for him to say that. I want him to just say, "Is this is America?" Maybe I'll frame the question by saying, like,
in
Carlos,
America.
This is America. People can say whatever they want, but some people were saying you were up to something with that home run dance.
Well, if they don't know the facts, we know what they can do.
From the 832, I'm going to the game tonight, predicting Bregman will get just as loud of a standing ovation as Correa for their first at-bats. Interesting. As loud?
As loud is tough. Because
I don't know, man.
One guy is still on your team.
Yeah.
The other guy isn't.
There's
that,
no
that's
chance.
The only difference.
Correa will not get booed. There's a chance Bregman will get some boos.
At some point.
Not many, but some.
I think, like, yeah, as the game goes on, it's more and more likely that. Obviously that he gets booed, but
yeah,
I also think it'll be a respectful like smattering of boos, if okay. at all. Like it won't be like, you know, when
Correct.
John when
with,
Johnny
with
Damon
twins?
Went back to Fenway.
Oh
or something.
Yeah,
like,
that. Yeah, yeah. They had they I think they had like an effigy of
yeah,
Damon.
Yeah, no, it'll
they
be
threw money in center field when he came out. To center
I don't
field.
Know why we talk about this every time an Astro comes. We've done this so many times. We know how this will go.
Yeah. Yeah.
There'll
be a good tribute video.
And then cheered.
If there's a playoff series, he will be booed heartily like Correa was
yeah.
in the playoffs a couple of years ago. That's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
We know.
I've done it how many times now?
You have to give Correa a longer tribute video than Bregman. It has to be longer. Has to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has to be.
Because
now he's back.
I think pregame you do the Bregman video and then like.
First at bat, Correa?
Yeah. Yeah. If, like, before the top of the first Bregman, before the bottom of the first Correa, I would think.
I think you do the Bregman one as he goes up to the plate to distract him.
Oh, get him teary eyed.
Listen, the Red Sox are. The Red Sox swept
Christian
the last
Javier
time.
Can sneak one past.
Yeah,
him.
Exactly. Yeah, like quick pitch. Quick pitch as he's, like, tearing up watching the
as
tribute
he's
video.
Tipping his cap to the Astros.
Listen.
Fans.
Listen. You're up half a game on the Mariners who are red hot, and the Red Sox are playing really well. Like, you think that I'm above cheating tonight?
No.
No, I'm never above cheating.
Blow sand in his eye? Yeah, whatever it takes.
One of the segments we did this past week where I was talking about the margaritas at the El Tiempo margaritas at Daikin Park, it blew up on Instagram and on TikTok. I have no idea how some posts blow up and some posts don't. This one got a ton of views. And there's this one guy who was like, stay classy. You want your team to cheat? And I was like, yes. And the guy's like, what? Are you going to teach your... He thought I had six kids for some reason. And he's like, whoa, you're going to show your six kids that it's so cool, it's okay to cheat? And I was like, well, yeah, if I had six kids, I would.
Four babies.
If I had six. That's true. I have four. No, I do have six kids, technically. That's right.
Yeah. Well, five steps.
Five steps and one daughter. I told this guy, I was like, hey, if I had six kids and I could get meters for them, I would force them to listen to my show at all times. Because I need the numbers. I need the cum. I need the audience. Okay?
Yeah.
And then I just started lying and saying, like, well, actually, I have 24 kids and I have three wives. And they all understand that I have to cheat with one to be with the other, because I'm a Mormon. And I went way too far in this back and forth with this guy. He clearly was not picking up that I was being sarcastic. And I was like, okay, what am I doing here? I'm going to go back to watching Dave with my girlfriend. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 281, Paul is a Red Sox fan. Let's not forget. Oh, you are so wrong on that. I was a Red Sox fan. I hate that organization. Hate them. Like, I actually do. Not with the same burning passion of the Yankees. Because I like Red Sox fans. I hate that organization. They're cheap, but they have a lot of money. Inexcusable. Completely inexcusable in my book. They also think they're really smart, which also pisses me off. We traded Mookie Betts, and we got a lot in return. Oh, what have you done since then? Nothing? You did the same thing with Rafael Devers. And honestly, it looks like you are spending the money on Liverpool. Third, it's personal, because I used to do some part-time work at the Red Sox flagship station, and they kept on sticking me on post-game duty for Red Sox games instead of letting me do a weekend show. And I was pissed off every single time I found out about it, because the people at this station, which I did not think was very well run, on Friday nights, they would tell me, hey, like, you're on for Saturday. Is this good? Sure. Do I get to do a show? No, you got to do the Red Sox post-game show. So this is like, Red Sox games always used to take 4 hours. And here I would be watching a game and then doing a post-game show afterwards. And I'm like, okay, this game doesn't really matter all that much. And one game I went on a rant talking about how, yeah, I'd rather be day drunk with my friends. I like actually went on a rant at the beginning of it. I was like, oh, you hit a walk-off grand slam against the Blue Jays? Who cares? Who cares? And this long rant that I went on, it pissed off like all of the Red Sox media. So they were all coming after me for a weekend. That was a fun weekend day. This dork Tom Karen was coming after me. Nice glasses, bro.
Ooh, I'm the Red Sox talking head on TV. The Red Sox are fine, everybody. We traded Mookie Betts for pennies.
I hated them from that point on. Cheap organization, gave me some great memories as a kid growing up, but they can take a shovel where the sun don't shine. That's how I feel about him now. Anyway, Paul Gallant.
Paul, you're so bitter. You're so angry. You got a lot of demons you got to work out.
Yes, I do. I do. I don't really know why I feel that problem with them, but I do feel that problem with them. From the 409, CJ Stroud was wearing a Padres hat. Was he? Was he wearing a Padres hat on the sideline of Texans Vikings? Huh.
I didn't notice.
I didn't notice that either. CJ Stroud, Padres hat. Is he a hipster? Lakers Padres hat? Huh. Interesting. I didn't see this because I wasn't really paying attention to the hat that he was wearing during the interview that he did on the sideline. I'm going to have to go back and watch that. I perhaps may have just committed an act of slander against CJ Stroud, because I do feel like he would be a Dodger fan because he's an L.A. sports guy. He's always talked about L.A. From the 409, what percentage Bregman goes yard tonight? Well, this is Christian Javier on his first major league start back in a very long time. So
there's a decent
chance. There's a pretty good chance, I think, that Bregman goes yard off of him, you know? Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. I am very excited to see Carlos Correa back tonight. I am curious as to what moments will be used for the tribute video. I doubt that they will put the pointing at the camera in the middle of the Ken Rosenthal interview. I think they should. I doubt they'll use it, but I think they should.
Could you imagine, like, the stadium after, this is America, Ken?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It would be great. Yeah, that...
It's like
that,
those 2017 highlights that we played Friday, before the Yankees series, where, like, you can barely hear Joe Buck calling the game because the crowd is so loud. That's what it'd be when he tells Cody Bellinger, if you don't know the facts.
You got to shut the bleep up. No, I love that. I think that they will show the home runs against the Yankees.
Yeah.
The many moments against the Yankees. There's been a lot. How many moments won't be Yankee moments is really what I'm most curious about. Because lots of Dodgers moments, too, and maybe some Red Sox moments from the 2017 ALDS. He was really good in that postseason where they did not make it all the way. The bubble.
Yeah,
postseason.
2020, he was really good. I think 21, he was also pretty good.
Yeah, he was.
Postseason
gamer.
Yeah, that long story short, Carlos Correa, good in the playoffs. But they'll definitely start with the footage of him getting drafted and putting on the hat while wearing a suit that they make the NFL or MLB draft player or draft picks do. So they'll start with that, like the humble beginning. Look at him, fresh face, high school kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Gonna be the savior. And then, yeah, then all the postseason home runs.
Bregman, meanwhile, I don't think they're going to show the clip of him talking about the sign-stealing scandal.
Apologizing with prayer hands? Doing the, like...
No, I don't think they're going to show that.
Okay.
By the way, there might be another... There's another Red Sox incident that happened with sign-stealing over the weekend, but that's neither crazy. Here nor there. Neither here nor there. No one's going to talk about it. No one's going to investigate it. Do you put Bregman saying... A lot of people were saying that the Astros wouldn't be American League West champions. I guess we'll never know. Are they going to play that? Because obviously that didn't age so well. And then Corey Seager used that against him. Or Kyle, I forget. Seager's.
Corey.
Yeah,
Kyle's
that
the
one
that's retired.
Kyle's the Mariner one. Yeah, that's right. I don't think they use that one either. But I do think they show some Dodger home runs. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So there you go, everybody. It is the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Ryan lost in Texas. We're talking about my Red Sox postgame temporary performances. I could imagine the quality of drunk calls to a Red Sox postgame show. No, if they were drunk calls, it would have been better. Like, at least if they were drunk calls, it would have been fun. They could have messed around a little bit.
No, they're actual, like,
it was like diehard people like holding a scorecard.
Yeah, like passionate.
I'm like, I just do not care.
Talking about, like, you know, back when Yaz was out there.
Yeah, Kyle Yastrzemski, dude. You remember this guy? Let me tell you, kid, about Kyle Yastrzemski. You're probably not old enough to remember this guy. Hey, let me tell you about Ted Williams. You know Teddy Ballgame fought in a war for you? He fought in a war against Korea.
So you could host this little radio
show. You could host
show.
This radio show. He fought for your freedom, dude. Yeah. He fought for your freedom.
He's the reason you're not speaking German.
Yeah,
right now.
he was his generation's Paul Revere. Yeah, you know who Paul Revere is? You know where we started the revolution? Huh? Huh?
You think you're better than me?
You think you're better than me?
713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. 10-minute drill is up next. We are 24 days away from the start of the NFL season. We'll take you through everything else that happened in the preseason and talk a little bit about the Texans game. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
ESPN 975.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
We are 24 days away from the start of the NFL season. I'm a little biased when it comes to my number one 24. Patriots legend, Ty Law, whose pick six against Kurt Warner in Super Bowl 36, put the Patriots in an early driver's seat for what would turn out to be one of the biggest upsets in the history of mankind. Yes, Ty Law. One of the all-time greats at corner. Michigan, man. Like Tom Brady. 15 years in the league, primarily with the Patriots, but also played for the Jets, Chiefs, Jets, Broncos, three-time Super Bowl champ, two-time first-team All-Pro, led the league in interceptions in 98 and 2005. 53 picks over the course of his career. 7 touchdowns. None more important than the one that took place in Super Bowl 36.
That is true. None were more important than the one he had in a Super Bowl that they won by 3.
Yeah, it's very important. It was the difference. That,
famously, John Madden, when they were starting the drive, was like, I think you just run it, take it to overtime. Always my favorite part of when those clips come back is them just being like, yeah, no, take your chances at overtime. You're not going to drive. Go on this long drive.
Yeah. Easy, Madden.
Yes, exactly.
Back off, bro.
But
it was understandable in the time. Like, I actually felt the same way.
Yeah.
I was very nervous to the point where we turned the TV off temporarily in my home, and my dad made an emergency plea because their parents were separated at this moment in time. My dad called my mom to make sure that I watched the end of this game. Because I was getting mad. My sister was like, it's fine, it's fine. I'm like, it's not fine, jeez! Ricky Prawl scored touchdowns. I lost my mind. But thankfully, they let me watch the game. Because they knew, like, Paul's got issues.
It's not fine.
Other great number 24s, Darrell Revis, Charles Woodson,
yeah.
Champ Bailey.
This is a great number.
It's a pretty good number.
Even the Texans, you got some...
Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah.
Jonathan Joseph is by far the best number 24 in Texans franchise history. I don't even want to entertain a close second. The thing I love the most about Joseph, physicality. I like a corner who actually wants to hit people. Yeah. But more than that, this guy was always playing hurt. Never let anyone know about it. But he was super banged up a lot of the time that he was here in Houston.
Yeah, no, and he wasn't single-handedly, but he was part of the big offseason.
2011.
Yeah, 2011. That took
Daniel Manning and him, but he was like the real big acquisition.
And Wade Phillips.
Of course, too.
But yeah, he took this defense from being a terrible pass defense
right.
into the best unit on the team, maybe?
Yeah, they became really good.
Yeah.
Overnight, their pass rush was obviously so good, too. J.J. Yeah. Watt became J.J. Watt. That defense, 2011-2012, the Bulls on parade era. The Texans defense was a damn good one.
Stingley, couple more years,
and
we can have this conversation.
I agree. But Stingley is definitely worth a mention at this moment in time, but stay healthy and keep on doing what you're doing. He's arguably the best corner in the NFL right now, but I think a lot of people would give that probably to Patrick Surtain in Denver as things currently stand. Patrick Surtain the second, by the way, because there was a Patrick Surtain who was a pretty good corner on his own right with the Miami Dolphins back in the day. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is fine.
What?
I know. Adam Schefter reported this over the weekend. Further testing revealed that Texans safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson's knee injury isn't as serious as it could have been, and it's not out of the question that he could be back as soon as the regular season opener against the Rams. I remember seeing the reports about the injury, the initial one, where I assumed that he was out for the year. And, I mean, given the reaction to the injury, based off of how it was described by those who were at the Greenbrier, it seemed pretty logical to me that he was done. But he is going to be, I guess, ready at some point in the first month of the year, and maybe even ready as early as week one. Shout out to a Texans online account on X, at TXN Football, who found this article, and I think we brought it up on Friday, from July 24th of 2023, when C.J. Gardner-Johnson was with the Lions. An MRI on Lions defensive back C.J. Gardner-Johnson's right knee showed no structural damage. He is considered day-to-day. Gardner-Johnson was carted off the practice field with the injury on Monday after he was hurt during a team drill in which there seemed to be light contact. He couldn't put pressure on his right leg as trainers helped him to his feet. So this has happened twice with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, it seems. Obviously, you're happy that both times he's been healthy, but I don't know, for those who pay attention, is this a bad look for C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Carted off twice? Maybe he's okay both times?
Twice is tough.
The twice makes it just
a pattern.
A question that needs to be asked.
Yes, because it is a little bit of... I'm not saying it, because we're still in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, we're in the honeymoon
phase. C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But it is... Hey, we gave Jake Odorizzi a lot of stick for getting carted off the...
Stretchered off the... Not even a cart. Like, he was carried off like it was World War II.
And then I don't think he went on the IL afterwards.
No, I don't think he did either.
So we gave him a lot of, you know, he became a punchline early, in the early...
It was merited, though.
Paul Gallant show days.
Yeah, it was very merited,
C.J. Gardner-Johnson, you're not there yet.
No.
But
no, it's just something that if it happens again and you burn it off,
our antenna's up.
Yeah, yeah. It's not Paul Pierce pooping his pants and getting wheelchaired out. That's at least you got that going on. Cam Ward, Titans quarterback, made his preseason debut in a game against the Buccaneers. lot of Titans writers were complaining about the quality of the field for where the Bucks play, Raymond James Stadium. Watch some of the highlights. It was solid. Stat line for Cam Ward in this preseason debut, which was not aired on the NFL Network. 5 of 8, 67 yards, an 89.1 passer rating, and he led the Titans on a 65-yard touchdown drive before leaving with 4:53 to play in the second quarter. So he almost played a full half. First drive, he went 3 and out. He had 2 incompletions. But the second try, 5 of 6 for 67 yards on that drive. So, pretty good.
Pass. You know, if it's pass-fail, he passed.
He passed. Calvin Ridley, he's a big fan of him. Oh, had 3 completions to Calvin Ridley on the drive. Tony Pollard scored the touchdown to cap off the drive. So, Titans maybe have a pulse this season. And they did beat the Texans in one of the 2 games last year with Will Levis on their center, for God's sakes. Brian Callahan was asked about his performance. He said, we're encouraged, but Cam Ward has not arrived yet. Travis Hunter also made his preseason debut with the Jaguars against the Steelers. He played 10 snaps at receiver, 8 snaps at corner. He caught 2 passes on the team's opening drive, had a 3rd catch wiped out by a penalty. Defensively, missed a tackle. We will see.
Yeah, it's harder to judge just because he is splitting time. It's going to be small sample size at 2 different things.
Yeah.
This one I'm just kicking to the regular season because my biggest questions with it isn't that can he play however many snaps. It was like 30 or
right.
so snaps combined. If he does that, we have a major problem. He needs to play like 60 or 70 snaps a game for him to actually be a two-way like groundbreaker in the way that he's being pitched at.
I just wonder how that's going to happen. I
mean, yeah, it's just tough.
He's never played more than 12 games. It was in the Big 12. Probably coast a little bit. Pick your spots. Like LeBron does at his age. You know? Like LeBron's not always going 100 miles per hour when he's out there. Obviously, that's largely due to the fact that he's up there in age, but you know, veteran players, they know how to pick their spots. If you're a young player, you've never been through a marathon like this before, and on top of that, you're playing at a much more elite level. Like, when can you take plays off? When can you, or, you know, quote-unquote, where you're not
like
going 100.
Catch a breather.
Exactly. Because it's tricky. It really is.
I mean, it's just going to be so fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Good news for the Jaguars. Cam Little, their kicker, hit a 70-yard field goal as the first half expired. This should count as the record.
This was the most shocking thing.
70 yards
of this weekend. I was stunned. I like could not believe it.
I couldn't either.
I didn't even think that.
The record is 66. That was Justin Tucker, and that was 4 years ago. Right.
He bounced it off the crossbar in it.
Also, Florida's humid.
Yes.
This is not in Denver. Like Jason Elam, I think, had a 62 or 63 yarder when I was growing up.
And I think whoever broke
the Broncos
or tied his also did it in Denver. So
yeah.
There was a while where it was like only a Denver record. And I think Justin Tucker's was in a dome in Detroit.
Yep.
So like this one being outside in Florida, it is crazy.
He might be the best kicker in the league. Just throwing it out there.
Just off this, yes.
Well, last year, 27 of 29 on field goals, 27 of 27 on extra points.
Okay.
And he hit a 70-yard field goal.
Good God. Pretty good.
That's really good. So Cam Little,
all right,
kicker that you now know about.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders looked pretty good. He did. He's feeling himself after his performance in his preseason debut. Like, really feeling himself.
I mean, this wasn't on Shedeur, but the Nike poster that came out, I'm like a little bit like, okay, guys.
But Shedeur said after the game, I felt like me out there. In the middle of the game, he was mic'd up talking to Myles Garrett. He's like, man, you should swipe at me once, like very cockily. Yeah. And Myles Garrett's like, I don't want to hurt you, bro. Quote, actually said that. Shedeur also called out a Cleveland Browns reporter for saying nothing positive about him ever. But he did look good out there. Like, that's the big story coming out of week 1 of the preseason is that Shedeur Sanders started. Shedeur Sanders played well. As far as going forward, Kevin Stefanski doesn't want to talk about the quarterback competition after the game. And he's not ready to name a starting quarterback for the second game. They're in a tough spot. You're the Browns. You're laughingstock. You're losers. You don't start him for the next game. People are going to get mad at you. Jimmy Haslam's the owner of the team. Doesn't seem to be a very good owner. He's trying to distance himself from the idea that he wanted them to take Shedeur Sanders. But if you take a look at the draft room when they selected Shedeur Sanders, both Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry looked like they wanted to die when the pick was made. So that's another fun little wrinkle to insert into Shedeur Sanders, who is the most fascinating story of this preseason, given that he's a fifth-round pick, but he's actually getting on the field due to the Browns' loaded quarterback room having a lot of injuries and a lot of old people.
But loaded as quantity,
there's so
not
many.
Quality.
I mean, we haven't even talked about Deshaun Watson, who's there.
Yeah, and there's a video of him, like, running, and they're like, oh, Shedeur has one good preseason game. Look who's taking rehab seriously.
Yeah.
To me, I wouldn't even care about who starts. It would just be about how much does Shedeur play, honestly. Like,
same.
If he plays the last three quarters of a game, then I don't really care if he starts or not. Stefanski is in a tough spot, but this should be an easy hurdle for him to go over. Because he could play the, like, well, Flacco's a veteran. We don't really want to, you know, waste our time. We know what we got with Flacco. He doesn't need to start a preseason game. Once Gabriel gets healthy again, that's when it actually is like, so which one of these rookies are you going to pick?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly, like, yeah. Continuing to go around the National Football League, Jackson Dart played for the Giants. All right. He had a funny quote about not sliding, which I'm sure Giants fans loved hearing, given that Daniel Jones never slid.
Well, he also
Jones would faceplant, not slide.
Did you send me the video of him not knowing how easy tag works?
That sounds right.
Yeah. There's some, like, vlog that was with him, and he was Is it hard? No.
Let's look this up in the commercial break.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something. And he was like, I don't even know what these signs mean. And they're like, that's easy tag. Like, that's a toll road.
Well.
He's like, whatever.
You don't play that. Trevion Henderson, Patriots running back, rookie out of Ohio State. He was the guy who took the screen to the house, though, in the college football playoff. Had a 100-yard kick return in the preseason debut for the Patriots, and also looked really good out of the backfield. So I'm excited about Trevion Henderson.
Are we back?
I only saw the Trevion Henderson highlights, so I got very excited about those. Drake May had a bad fumble, and Mike Vrabel lit him up for it. So
accountability.
I'm dialed back.
Accountability
is back. That's the big thing. Saturday, I literally screamed in the bar, we are so bleeping back! And a lot of people were making looks at me. Because I was, like, wearing short shorts. You know, I was wearing nut huggers and a Hawaiian shirt. So I looked very extra at that moment in time. So there you go. 10-minute drill, everybody. Also, one last one. And thankfully, this guy's okay. Lions safety Maurice Norris went to an Atlanta hospital after Lions-Falcons, which was called in the middle of the early fourth quarter. He's stable with movement in extremities. The video is awful. Violent sport. Bleep happens. Whenever you see that, I never know what to say other than, I mean, these guys know what they're signing up for, but you never think that you're signing up for something like that. So this is an undrafted free agent from, I think, last year, and hopefully he's okay, and hopefully he's going to get the medical care that he needs. That was honestly one of the more horrifying injuries I've seen, just the way he was shaking after the hit. Wrapping things up. Teams are monitoring a Tyreek Hill trade, and Eagles guard Landon Dickerson suffered a practice injury. Seems to be a serious leg injury because he was carted off of the field. Paul Gallant Show, Sean Mapes is behind the glass, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and Twitch at ESPN 975, also available on the brand new ESPN Houston app. Stay put.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
They have that whole scandal on top of it all. But Jose Altuve will always remember New York. And this one into the left field corner is gone.
Wayne, you don't want to wake up a sleeping giant, and he lives for these type of moments. We said it in the open that when the lights are brightest, that's who you want at the plate along with Carlos Correa, but that was a short, easy swing. Getting his foot down with the best of them.
You got to mention a scandal right before that at bat. Who's this guy? Who's this guy on Apple TV?
Oh, I don't know.
I had it on mute. I was watching the game on mute. I was watching something else while watching the game on mute. I think I watched Pulp Fiction and the Friendship movie with Tim Robinson instead of actually listening to the audio of Astros Yankees on Apple TV. I did think when Altuve hit that home run, oh, they're going to kill him. It's going to be an absolute whomping. It ended up being a pretty close game, a tight game. Eventually, I did pause the movie I was watching so I could watch the very end of that game. But, those guys. Come on, bro.
Russell Dorsey?
More like Russell Dorky.
Got him.
And fellow McFellapants, who said, we talked about it in the open. I love that. We talked about it. Like, that's a routine Troy Aikmanism from color commentary. We talked about...
We talked about it when we started the show. Or,
we talked about it in the pre-game production meeting.
Oh, yeah. The production meeting we had with Bobby Slowick, he really wowed me. Like, no one's ever been in a production meeting and the announcers have just been like, what an idiot.
No, like, it would be great if they did. Like, we talked about how stupid this dumbass was. We talked about him drooling as he was trying to explain the system that his team runs. We talked about it. Yeah, this a-hole bringing up the scandal right away. No more Apple TV Plus games for the rest of the season, Astros fans. So at the very least, you've got that in your favor. I'm very thrilled about that. No more. Just put it on the local broadcast. I know some people look at the local broadcast and you're like, well, we could do better. I don't know. The familiarity, it has me locked in. That's what I want. You know, I want to feel like I'm at a fireside chat with my friends, Todd Callis, who may be unaware of my existence, and Jeff Blum, who we've definitely dapped up before, but he doesn't follow me on X and it hurts my feelings. But it's fine. It's fine. It's okay. There's more to life than being followed by people that you think you have a relationship with, like Chandler Rome. Like, he doesn't follow me either. And it's fine. You know, we brought him on the show a couple of times. It's okay. Crush City Podcast, which we promote with Tyler Stafford. Tyler Stafford follows me. Paul, are you really making this segment about who follows you? Yes, I am. The Astros took 2 out of 3. If they had had a sweep, we would be a little bit more celebratory today. I'd have a broom. But instead, now I'm just...
Talking about Chandler Rome.
Talking about people who don't follow me on Twitter.
A guy who's been on the show, like... At least five times.
Whenever he's allowed to, he comes on.
Yeah, probably like twice in offseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, we circumvent
the rules.
You text
him.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We have a texting relationship. He will follow me on X. I think he thinks I'm stupid, which, to be fair, true. But
yeah, I can't imagine.
Hey.
I can't imagine him watching some of your videos being like, yep.
Hey, listen, I mean, I blew up on TikTok this weekend, folks. I blew up. Might not be here that much longer. I'm kidding. Like, the next post I made had no views. And I was like, oh, okay. That's a way to really bring you back down.
Get ready to buy up Gallant coin. Coming up next.
But no, I was a TikTok star this weekend. I was. Guess how many views it had? Guess how many views? As the first TikTok I see shows another body found in a Houston bayou.
Oh.
Guess how many views?
10,000.
216,000.
Nice.
Yeah. That's right. 15,000 likes, yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about LTF margaritas.
Too bad one of those wasn't Jeff Blum.
Wasn't. I know. No follow from Jeff Blum. No follow from anyone. Because I think a lot of people are like, Paul, are you promoting binge drinking at the game? Because I follow up post to you. The LTF margaritas too strong was, could you do a 999 challenge with LTF margaritas?
People are just like, what happened to Paul?
Paul really seems to like margaritas, huh? He's a little bit of a drunkie, that one. Huh. Interesting. Very interesting. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. So the Astros took 2 of 3 against the Yankees. Meanwhile, the Astros are technically still in first place. in the American League West. But here's how that works. The Mariners have played one more game than the Astros. And that one game is a loss. I know baseball doesn't do the head-to-head tiebreaker. Instead, they just have teams play a game if they have the same record at the end of the season, which is actually, I think, pretty cool. But given the Mariners, how they've done against the Astros this year, I'm pretty sure that if this was football, we would be talking about the Mariners having home field advantage in a series against the Astros. They took 2 of 3 at the beginning of the second half of the year, and they will play each other again September 19th through September 21st, first half of the season. They, against the Astros, I'm taking a look back in time, because honestly, it all blends together with all these injuries. They took, the Astros did take 3 of 4 against them in that one series in May. That's when we thought that the Mariners were falling apart. And then they beat the Astros 2 out of 3. So hang on a second. Doing a little math here. They're 4-2, but then they were 1-3. Do the Astros actually have the series season lead? If I'm doing my math correctly here, 5-4? I think they do. Let's go! Yeah! Paul, did you just do math in the middle of that segment and didn't know that information before? Yes, we said this is not the smartest show. This is why Chandler, Rome, and Jeff don't follow me.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just making it all in a circle.
Chandler Rome's back. I do not regret my decision.
No, he definitely doesn't. Junior Bronco says 999 with LT Empo margaritas needs to be done. Ryan Lawson, Texas says, as creator of the 999 LT Empo challenge, I approve. Well, then you got to do it. But I don't want anyone to do it because I don't want to get sued. Like, I will end up getting sued for that. So don't do it. Don't. We talked about this. Generally, 4 margaritas, you're gone. A lot of people were commenting, by the way, on the one that I said the El Tiempo margaritas at Dykin Park are too strong. We're single, cool, lightweights. It's like, what kind of an alcoholic are you? One of these people that said, lightweights, like, you're a woman. No offense. But, I mean, I do not believe that you could have 5 of them. Like, she wasn't that big, you know? She was one of the chicks from, like, My 1,000-Pound Life. Okay, I'd buy that. I would buy that, especially if you're scootering around. How can anyone tell if you're hammered? You're not walking. But, I'm going to throw a challenge flag on that. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Ryan Lawson, Texas says you're only allowed to get 1 marg per game. They're tracking the purchases by IDs now. So they're, like, actually swiping the ID? Or are they just making you show it? Because it used to be you go up to the vendor and you could buy one per trip, but you couldn't buy multiple. I don't think that the last time I went, and this was in late June, I don't think that they are swiping the ID. I think they're just looking at it to make sure that you're over 21, and then you only get 1 drink there. But anyway, I guess we'll find that out tonight. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call the text. Ryan Lawson, Texas says they are swiping. Interesting. I guess we will see. Man. Are people not going to be able to properly black out while drinking an El Tiempo margarita at Dykin Park while seeing Carlos Correa back?
I think for Carlos Correa return, they should waive it.
Yeah.
They should waive it and maybe even make them half price so they're only $75.
Exactly.
I think that's the way to do it.
Didn't Carlos Correa once say, "This is America, Ken"? Doesn't seem like America to me.
No, I thought this was America.
This is like Soviet Russia. Like one loaf of bread per ID, per red passport. Paul Galacho, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.